Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2010. Lecture 14, delivered on October 18, 2010. The title of this lecture is Annuities and Bond Prices.
Today, annuities and bond prices. Now, before the exam, I went through the essentials of lump sums, present value and future value, and I went through the level annuity present value formula. Now, there are two final parts to this annuity story before I can get to something interesting off it. The one is the future value of an annuity, a level annuity. And the other is an idea called the annuity due. Start this way. Let's assume that we're starting on January 1 to do this. On January 1, you decide you'll put $100 into an account at the end of each year for the next 3 years. At the end of that third year, how much will be in the account if the interest rate is 5%? Now, if the interest rate is 5%, if the account pays 5% per year. Now, and there's no compounding, it's yearly compounding. Now, here's the deal. There's something a little bit odd about this, in the sense that we're going to walk a cash flow. It's a level annuity, no question about that. And we're going to, the last money we put in, we're going to put it in and then see how much we've got. And I don't know if that strikes everyone as a little bit strange, but that's how the basic formula for the future value of an annuity works. Well, we're talking about regular annuities. Regular annuities, each component of the cash flow occurs at the end of the period. So I taught you a regular present value annuity last time because each of the cash flows occurred at the end of the period. Here I'm going to show you how to do a regular annuity future value. Again, because the cash flows occur at the end of each period. So in the case of a regular future value annuity, your last payment will go in, and then you'll see how much you've got right away. Now, first things first, let me do this just the hammer it out way. And I'm going to draw a nice, pretty timeline. Here is zero, right where you are. Not that you're a zero, but here's where you are. Now, at the end of year one, at the end of the year, $100 goes in. The end of the next year, $100 goes in. And at the end of the third year, $100 goes in. So what we want to know now is how much is going to be in there right there at the end of year three. That is a regular future value annuity. Regular because everything is happening at the end of the year. Well, I could do it the old-fashioned way. There's one, two periods there. So I could do a future value. Remember the future value? Future value is present value of a lump sum times 1 plus r to the nth power, or k, I should say, whatever. So I could do 100, well, let me do it over here. $100 times 1 plus 0.05 to the 1, 2 periods plus 100 times 1 plus 0.05 to the 1 power, and then plus, well, $100. That $100 just is there. Now, I would like you to work that out. Tell me what the answer is. Because the only way you can do this is if you hammer it out. Just grind this out. I've given you the formula. Just punch this in and give me an answer. What do you get? $315.25. Now, here's the future value of a regular annuity formula. It's the level cash flow times 1 plus R to the, I keep using R, K, R, you know what I mean, minus to the nth, minus 1, all divided by R. So in this case, since this is a regular annuity, and that's the regular future value annuity, that's the regular future value annuity formula, I can honk this in. FVA equals $100 times 1 plus 0.05 to the third power minus 1 over all divided by 0.05. Now key that in. See what you get for an answer to that. Make sure that you do both ways, especially the second way. And what do you get for the answer there? And part of why I'm doing this is watch out for parentheses when you do this, because, I mean, you can make a mistake just because of the order of operations thing. You should put that top thing, 1.05 minus 1, trap that in parentheses before you do divided by. Otherwise, you'll get the wrong answer. Make sure you get the answer. What do you get? Survey says? Well, yes. $315.25. Now that should be a comfort to you. The level annuity regular formula works. Now, one last way. We'll do it with the financial app. Excuse me. God. Dear God, that hurt like hell. And that was Denny's breakfast yesterday. Give me a minute. Wait, I know what I'm... Lord. Where the hell was I? Hit apps 1 on your calculator and go to TMV solver, time value of money. Now look down at the bottom. See the PMT thing? Okay, again, apps 1, then 1 again for TMV solver. And you see down at the bottom it will say PMT and there will be an end and a begin. The end is for regular annuities, which this is. The way we're treating this is a regular annuity. Begin would be if I were giving you a problem that's an annuity due, okay? So watch out for that bottom thing because it can burn you if you don't keep an eye on that. Now up at the top, N is going to be 3. I percent is going to be 5. What? Not 0.05. 5. The finance you use just the percentage, not math formulas, obviously. But on here it's 5. And then your present value, just put a 0 in there. And then your future, your payments are $100 each. Now just drop it down, FV, and hit alpha solve. Now what do you get? Again, N will be 3. I percent will be 5. PV, there's no lump at the beginning. There's no kicker in the front end. And then the payment is $100. And then you hit, put it on FV and say alpha solve. Or alpha enter, whatever. And what do you get? I want to make absolutely sure that you get this. If you're not getting it, raise your hand. Let me know. You could have something that's misset or something like that. I'll fix it. And I want these to be, these are almost, this part of it's actually really no-brainer kind of stuff, because you'll obviously be able to use your calculator to do these. Just make sure you've got the key set right, and you know whether you're doing an annuity, a regular annuity, or an annuity due. Okay, how does it look there? Well, it'll be negative. That's the weirdest ass thing on the, oh, anyway. Yeah, it's a negative. Negative 315.25. Is that what you get? That's what you want to get. If you can do that, you will not go home empty-handed on my next quiz or on the exam too. These are, like I said, these are really no-brainer. Just key it in, and everything should work out. Now, let's see what would have happened if this had been an annuity due. In other words, your first payment would not have come at the end of the year. It would have been on January 1. Your last payment would have been on January 1, and then you would have let it ride to the end of the year and checked your balance. Again, let's see what would have happened if we had shifted the cash flow stream forward so that you put your first money, oh God, you put your first money in there, and then the next one there, then the next one there, and then everything rides out to the end. First, sanity check. Do you expect that you would have more or less than $315.25? Talk to me. More. Because essentially you would have been riding interest on money longer. So all you have to do in this problem is go down there and hit begin. And then go back up and do the alpha solve again on the future value. What do you get?
331.01.
Lovely. You would get 331.01 for this as an annuity due. This would have, and again, whether it's an annuity regular, a regular annuity or an annuity due depends on where the cash lumps happen. Do they happen at the beginning of the period or the end of the period? This is true for present values too. Read my problems carefully so that you are able to see what, which way it should go. There is actually a formula for annuity due. There's a formula for annuity due, for the present value annuity due, and for the future value annuity due. Remember that the present value of a regular annuity, I'm going to write that one up here too, just so you have them both together, is the cash flow times the numerator 1 minus 1 plus k to the n, all divided by the k. And that's a k there too. Okay. Now those are the regular annuity formulas where cash flow occurs at the end of the period. The annuity due formulas, I'm not going to show you this time. I stopped showing you the annuity due formula, which is just a twist on this one. I think I did it stopped about a year and a half, 2 years ago. because it's a lot easier to do these on the calculator and just say begin or end. The main thing is just to be able to identify whether you've got a regular annuity or an annuity due. Let me do a present value problem, and the first thing I want you to do is to identify for me whether I am talking about an annuity regular form or an annuity due. And in the tradition of a good course, your life has been hell. You know that degree they said will get you a good job? They lied. You have been working as the assistant manager at a Jiffy Lube on the south side of Memphis, and you moved in with a guy named Earl who does rock band, and he does some Elvis impersonations at children's birthday parties, but really things have been going bad for you. But one day you go into the local Speedway gas station, and the cashier, Mabel, "Well, how are you today? Would you like to buy a lottery ticket? You look lucky." And she said, and you say to her, "I ain't been lucky in years." But you buy one, and you hit the jackpot. Unfortunately, you see, here's the problem with those kinds of, you hear, "Well, this person won $10 million. They don't give you $10 million. They give you a payment every year for 20 years. Okay? So that's, unfortunately, and they say that's $10 million. Well, that's not $10 million. We know that. But let's say that you win $10 million. So they are going to pay you $500,000 a year for 20 years. You get your first $500,000 payment, no taxes, we'll keep taxes out of it, right away. Well, obviously, you're glad for that because then you can throw Earl out and his two cousins that moved in and their three dogs, which have a total of 9 legs among them. And you can move out of that sad trailer park in Memphis and move to a very nice townhome right beside Graceland. Your first $500,000, you will receive $500,000 every year for 20 years. Your first payment is today. If you discount cash flows, like this, at 4.5%, what is this lottery winning worth to you right now? I think I already blew part of this. Write this down. Now, I want to ask you a couple of deep questions. Question one, how the hell did she get lucky? No, first question. Is this a future value or a present value problem? Present. I'm asking about right now. Is this a lump sum or is this an annuity? It's an annuity, yes. Now, this might seem trivial to you, but trust me, when you get into some of the heavier duty stuff in finance, as long as you work it in a mechanical kind of way where you ask questions, simple questions, serially,
You'll know what to do at the end of the problem. You really will. You will be able to walk through problems that will look really hard because there's no step that is really hard. It's all just one simple step after another. Okay, we've got a present value. It's an annuity. The next question, are your payments coming at the beginnings of periods or at the ends of periods? Beginnings, because you get your first one right now. So is this a regular annuity or an annuity due? It's a due. And then the next question you ask, where the hell is my calculator?
Really? Just go get your calculator. We're in the 21st century. Just turn on the calculator.
Now the N. What's your N?
20.
What's your I? 4.5. Don't put in 0.045. You do that if you were doing math, but here you're having the calculator lift the heavy stuff. So it's 4.5.
Present value, there's no kicker on it. No kicker. You go down to the payment. What's your payment? $500,000. Now, is there anything I'm forgetting before I finish this up and get the answer? Talk to me. Go down to the bottom and make it go to begin, because begin means do. Truth be told, I
understand why they did it the way they did it, save space. But for finance people, who are about the only ones who would use these features on the calculator, it would have been better if they said regular and do. But you go down to the bottom, you go to begin. Now you go back up there to the present value, the PV, and you hit alpha solve. And what does it say? What do you get? I want to make sure you can do this, folks, because if you can do this, you've got hard problems licked on quizzes and exams. What do you get?
$6,796,646.80.
My ass. 16, what did you get? Does my calculator suck?
$391,000.
That's what I get. Is that what you get?
Oh, I did. Sorry, I'm just testing your ass. Zero. I had it on the wrong key. On wrong. 6796,
yeah, sorry. 6796, God, 6796, 646.80. Now, first of all, is that $10 million? Yeah, it is, actually, unfortunately. But you see, this is one of the funny things about those lotteries is there's no $10 million in it, really. I mean, you can actually request a full payment right up front, but they'll make it even less than that. You see, the present value, what that is worth to you now, is $6,796,646.80. That's all you'll get. That is, and also as a good check, just as a reality check, it will be less than the $10 million because essentially you're not getting some of that money. You're not getting for 20 years. It's virtually worthless to you today. As a matter of fact, let me check something real quick here.
Times 1.045. Oops. to the... That last payment, if I'm not mistaken, if I didn't key this in wrong, your last payment of $500,000 is worth only about $216,650. So it's that money that's way out there is really virtually worthless to you. So there you are, annuities and annuity due. Check my website tonight. I'm going to put up a couple of just quick dirty problems for you to do for your workout. And now I'm going to take this off the board. I'm going to show you a really practical use for what you know here, for what you've done. I already told you about this earlier in the course, but I am going to repeat it. Corporate bonds. If you are a bondholder, you are the holder of a claim on a cash flow. The cash flow arises from two separate parts. One part is the stream of interest coupon payments you will get over the life of the bond, and the other is just a lump sum that you will get at the end of the life of the bond, at the date of maturity. How much is that lump sum, by the way, that you'll get at the end of the bond's life? You know? Someone said it. Face value. What's face value unless I say differently? 1,000. So you know that in any problem I give you, there's going to be a lump sum kicker at the end of the life of the bond. So if I told you that you're holding, let's say, an IBM, let's say it's an 8.5% IBM 17. An 8.5% IBM 17. I would know that the coupon payment was 8.5% of face. I'd know that. So every year I will get 8.5% of face, or I'll get an $85 check. In fact, I will get two $42.50 checks, but that's not right now. Don't worry about that. I also know that I will get those through the year 2017. And at the end of 2017, and I'll assume these are all you started to begin. I don't get into that half a part year way through and all that. At the end of the year 2017, you're going to get one last check for $85. But you're also going to get a check for $1,000 because the bond will be retired at that time. So you have essentially two parts to a bond. You have a level annuity, and you have a lump sum. In order to price the bond, then, you have to price the present value, the value now, for the price now, of that level annuity, and you also have to add in the present value right now of that $1,000. Now, let's take that 8.5% IBM 17 and see what its price should be now. And we will discount this bond at 8%. We'll discount the cash flows at 8%. Don't get confused between that and the coupon. The coupon is just the money you get. But what I do want to know is if you could tell me, if you're a holder of this bond, is this a good thing to hold, or would you want to dump this bond? What does the market say you should be paid
for bearing this risk? 8%. What are you being paid for bearing this risk? So is this a good thing to keep or a bad thing? Good. So in other words, this is going to sell at a premium to par. This will sell at a premium to par. I will tell you right now that this bond better be worth more than $1,000 when we finish calculating it, because this is a nice bond to have right now, because it pays more than the market has determined that it should. So that means that people will want to buy these bonds, which will lift the price up, because they are a good thing to have. People will offer you money, real cash money, for these bonds. And you will say, no, not until you give me enough so that I can get an alternate investment at a decent deal. So in this case, and here we're going to do this, excuse me, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this as if the coupons come at the end of the year. We're pricing it at the beginning. Like I said, I'll do that for all of these. It just gets a little bit weird when things happen, when you break up get the year going. We'll say each of the coupons pays at the end of the year. We're pricing it at the beginning of the year to make it easy for us. So what's going to happen here is that here we are in 2010, at the beginning of 2010, and then we're going to have 2011. Right before 2011 will come a payment, and then another payment, and another payment in 2012, 2013, 2013, and on through until 2016, and then 2017. And we're going to look at what the present value, first of all, of the annuity component is. The annuity is going to be $85. How do I know that? I take 8.5% of face. Face is always 1,000 unless I say differently. So we're going to have an $85 coupon payment each year from the end of 2010, which is effectively 2011 beginning, on through to the end of 2016, the beginning of 2017. And again, I play a little loose with those days in this. So I'm going to want to telescope that cash flow back all to now. Now, first of all, it's a present value. I want to know now. Second of all, is this a regular annuity or an annuity due? Regular, because the payments occur at the end of the period. Regular. And then we can then just pump that thing in. So what we can do now is find the present value of the annuity embedded. The annuity embedded in here will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Is that right? Yes, 8. So do that on your calculator. Just give me that part of it. If I do that one on my calculator, apps, finance, TMV, 8 years at a discount rate of 8%. Don't put the 8.5 up there for I. We're discounting the cash flows at 8.8%. The present value, we don't know. The payments are each going to be $85. So if we calculate the present value of it, is that right? Yep. What do you get for just the present value of the annuity? 527, is it? Oh, I'm bitching at you to make sure I didn't change back to end. Jeez. Whoa. What is it?
What do you get for it? $488.46.
Okay.
Say that again. I did that? I'm just testing you. Okay, 2011, 1, 2, 3, yeah, it's 7 years. You're absolutely right. I wrote down 2012 twice, and then I counted it twice. So it is 7 years. You're absolutely right. Yeah, 442.54.
That was weird. I wrote it twice, and I counted it twice. 442.54. Now, one more thing I want to do here. I've got $1,000 that's also going to show up at the end of year 2017. Okay?
So if I wanted to find out what that $1,000 was worth as just that lump sum of $1,000, that's 1, 2, 3, 7 years out there.
$1,000, 7 years out. So I'd put FV of negative of 1,000, okay. And then go back up and count that.
I get for that one, 583.49. Is that what you get?
Huh? Put N7, I8. Leave the PV alone, go down payment, zero that out, and put FV of $1,000 in. Because the future value of it's $1,000 in 7 years. We want to know what it's worth now. Now go back up to the PV and then go alpha solve. Now if I add those two up, I get 1,026.03, is that... I still suck at arithmetic. Okay, 1,026.03. First of all, that gives me some comfort because I did get it I found that it was at a premium to par, which it should have been because the coupon was better than market. Now we're going to do this all in one shot on your calculator. Go back down and let's do it all together. N is 7. I is 8. Don't worry about the PV now. Put in the payments, $85, and make sure your future value is $1,000. In other words, we're going to have the calculator compute a combination of an annuity and a lump sum kicker at the same time. Go back up and hit alpha solve on the present value. What do you get? Same answer, $1,026.03. So in other words, you can price bonds with just one set of keystrokes. Now, this was easy. It'll be easy for you to price the bonds. Now we can take it to the next step. Let's get realistic with the bond and say the coupons don't occur once a year, but they occur twice a year. Now, in order to repair it, we're going to have to do two things. One is we're going to have to fix the payments. They're no longer, well, we're going to have to do three things. We're going to have to make the payments instead of $85 each. We're going to have to make the payments half of $85 each. So I'm going to go back up to the payments now, and I'm going to take the 85 divided by 2. And you can do that in your head, or you can just key it right in 85/2. You can do it either way.
Now we've got to go back up to n. The number of periods is no longer 7. It's 7 times 2. Now, you can do that in your head, but I can assure you that if it gets to be a long time stream, just key in 7 times 2. If it's some huge number that you're going to come out with, just let the calculator do it. God knows with my arithmetic skills, I never can trust myself, so I just write 7 times 2. Now, there's going to be one last thing that I have to do here, too. You see that I percent? That's an annual. That was the 8%. We're no longer annual. We're half of annual. So per period, it's 8 divided by 2. Don't ever forget that. It's 8 divided by 2. This will come back to bite you in the butt in a few minutes with another kind of problem with bonds. But just for now, just say 8 divided by 2 because there's 2 payments a year. Now go down and price the bond. Alpha Sol. What do you get for the price now? $1,026.41. That's right. It's a little bit more valuable now. Doesn't seem like much, but trust me, over millions and millions of dollars, and especially if there's a decent spread between coupon and market, that can be some money. Giving you the payments every 6 months, half as much, is worth more. A little bit here, but in a real world situation, it could count up to some money. Go. Yeah. Leave that. You know, it's funny because at first that seems like such a silly question, but then you think, no, wait a minute. Is it? Yeah. Because you'll still get that one pile of money at the end that'll come back. So it's a decent question. But leave the 1,000. So the things that you change will be first the N, make it twice as long, then the I, half as much, and then the payment, half as much. N twice as long, I half as much, payment half as much. And then you'll be able to give the answers. Now, on a quiz or an exam, if I give you a bond problem, unless I say differently, hear me well, you assume it's real. It's half. It's coupons every 6 months, okay? Just get it a little closer to the real world. So always, unless I say differently, do it half on a quiz or an exam. I will be looking for the answer with the coupons being paid every half year. Now comes the real part. You see, in the real world, we do price bonds at original issue. We have to know what the price of a bond is. So if I know that market rate is 7.5% and I do an issue at 7.75%, I know that I'll get a little more money. People will pay a little extra for it. I need to know exactly what that little extra will be. But realistically speaking, the bonds that you will buy, generally speaking, will already be out there. The market will be pricing the bond. No geek in a room will be pushing numbers on a calculator. The market, through the forces of demand and supply, will already establish the price at any given moment in time for any given security that is in the secondary market. That means that the job in the real world is not to find the price of a bond. The job is to find out what the yield on the bond is. In other words, in the real world, I'll just pull kind of a phony example. $7.2 DMX 23 at 98.12. What's the yield to maturity? Compact information. I'm just saying 7.2 DMX 23 at 98.12. And I've got everything I need to know what the yield on that bond is. First of all, what I'm saying there is that your annual coupon rate is 7.2%. The company is DMX. The date of maturity is in 2023. Right now, the bond is selling at $981.20. Remember that it's going to be quoted at a tenth, and I will do that whenever I tell you a real bond, a bond on a quiz or an exam, I'll quote it like this. For God's sake, don't put in 98.12 into your calculator. Things will get very exciting. What I want to know is, what's the yield to maturity? What's the YTM? Now, here's the first thing. Is the yield going to be more or less than 7.2%? Someone said less. Did you guess or did you know? Okay. Is this bond selling at a premium or a discount to par? It's selling at a discount. In other words, the market is saying, DMX, your bond sucks. Because, you see, you're paying 7.2%. And we think that you should be paying more than 7.2%. So let's see what happens when we push this into the calculator using the semiannual coupons. What will N be? We're pricing it at the beginning of the year, okay? And the yield is at the end. We're doing it assuming that it pays off at the end of the year of maturity. So how many years are involved? How many?
13,
yes. Is that right? Yeah. 13 times 2. I'm sorry, I thought you said 6 there. I was wondering where the hell you got. It's 26, yeah. Okay. What's the I you put in? Your answer is I don't know. That's what I'm asking. What is the discount rate the market is applying to these cash flows? Go down to the next line. What's the I think the next line is payment, right? Yeah. What's the no, it is the present value. What's the PV you key in? -981.2. Remember, if you have to key in, put in a present value, put in a negative. If you get some kind of an error, check to see if you got a negative error. Go. 981.2. Huh? Because we quote a tenth. It's just the way we do it. I mean, don't challenge tradition. I've been asked that question every time, and that's the only thing I can say is because I said so. 981.20. Watch that. For God's sake, watch that. And watch me, because there have been times while I put in 98.12 too. But 981.20. What do you put in for the payment? Say it. 72 divided by 2. Huh? Yeah. So N So N is 13 times 2, I is 13 times 2. The present value, the PV, is -981.20. And then the payment, the PMT, is 72 divided by 2, $72. $72 because it's 7.2% of face, 7.2% of 1,000. FV, 1,000. and always, always just look down at the bottom. Make sure you're on end for bond problem. Just make sure you're on end. Because in a finance class, you'll be switching back and forth between begin and end for different kinds of annuities and regular annuity due. So just quickly use your eyeball, check, make sure you're on end. Now walk it back up to the I percent. And what do you get? What is it? What does anyone else get? What do you get? 3.71. Let me check something here real quick here. 3.71, 14, 13 hours. Let me check something here. I've got something that really sucks. I see. Okay. 3.71. I rounded it wrong. 3.71, you're right. Now, is that the answer? No. You got to multiply that by 2. Because that is the once every half year interest rate. So you've got to times that by 2 to get an annual rate. So your actual answer is going to be twice that. Now you got to be careful here. Don't just take twice the answer that you got there. Go up, put the cursor on that I percent you got, 3.71 blah blah blah, and take it to the end of that stream and hit times 2 and then just bring it down or up, whatever you want with the cursor, because you'll get a rounding error if you don't do it that way. What's the answer if you do it taking times 2 on the answer that you've got there on your calculator? What is it? 7.43. What's the answer if you just take 3.71 times 2? 7.42. You get 0.01% difference. Sometimes you'll have that, sometimes you won't, depending on how it rounded. But watch that. Take the cursor back up. The last thing you do, put it in your notes, tattoo it on your ass, whatever, is well, don't do that. There are more important things like CAPM. I want you to tattoo on your ass. And hit times 2, and then just get the cursor off it so the calculator executes the arithmetic operation. Okay? Yeah.
I was wondering, by looking at that line there, the 7.2 dmax, how do I know that it's 2 periods?
That you assume. For any problem I give you, it'll be semi-annual coupons. Just assume it. Okay? Yeah. Unless I say differently. Now, let me ask this. What is this company paying its investors for the risk they're bearing? It's paying them 7.2%. What does the market, according to what you got here, say it should be paying the investors? 7.43%. So since the market says it should be paying more than it is, does the market price this bond at a discount or a premium to par? At a discount, and if you look at that, It is indeed selling at a discount. This doesn't prove that you got the right YTM, but it is a good way to have the sense that, yeah, it's selling. The problem gave us the information that this bond was selling at 98.12. That's a discount to par. It's not a severe discount to par, but it's a discount to par. And as such, we should expect the market to be saying you should pay more. Therefore, we are going to price this lower than par to make up for the fact that your coupon isn't good enough. Again, the market is pricing this at a discount to par, which I gave you in the problem, 98.12. And that is because the market is correcting for the fact that this bond is not paying as much as it should based upon the risk. In other words, you are holding one of these bonds. It's giving you $72 a year, or $41, or whatever it is, $37.50 every 6 months. You are not stupid. You say, now wait a minute. Based upon the risk that I'm bearing, this isn't enough. So I'm going to sell. You're going to see people sell these bonds. And they will keep selling. Bonds will keep being sold until the price drops enough to make up for the fact that this bond doesn't pay the coupon it should. Now, at the those of you who were at the FMA meeting, we had a gentleman named David Stokes with Edward R. Jones speak at the last meeting. And he was talking about, what was the bond? Was it Ford bond? There was a fellow who was holding a Ford bond. And, of course, Ford had started paying the bond in the old days. And then at a decent coupon. But then the Ford began to get into serious trouble in the past few years. That would mean that the risk of holding the company's securities would be going up, and therefore the yield should be going up, which means that what should happen to the price of Ford bonds if the market says they should pay more and more and more? Yes, they should go down like a rock. And they did. Why? Because pretty much everyone tried to sell his or her Ford bonds because they were not paying a coupon commensurate with the risk of the bonds. Interestingly, though, do you remember the end of that story? The people who held on to their bonds? Because the bonds recovered, because Ford recovered. As the risk of Ford Motor Company began to fall, the yield on Ford Motor Company bonds began to fall, which means that suddenly that interest rate, the coupon, started getting more and more attractive. So people started buying Ford bonds again, pushing the price up, pushing the yield down on them. Now let's try one last exercise here. Right now, the Treasury, the Federal Reserve, is holding interest rates at historically low levels. The coupons are virtually nothing right now on long bonds. Coupons are worth virtually nothing. Okay? Now, you buy one of those bonds as an investor. And when, down the road, the inevitable clamp down on the money supply comes, which will drive up real interest rates, and the inevitable spiral of inflation expectations comes because of the vast oceans of excess liquidity that the Fed has put in there, prevailing interest rates in the United States will go very high. You, as a holder of a nice, fat bond with a low, low coupon, will see what happened to the price of your bonds. You have bonds with low coupons,
and interest rates in the economy start going through the roof, what will happen to the price of your bonds? As Johnny Cash would say, down, down, down the ring of fire. Because essentially, you'll be holding bonds that pay somewhere between diddly and squat, call it diddly squat, in coupons, when prevailing interest rates on coupons, the coupons on new issue bonds, are just absolutely great, dandy, fabulous. So if you buy bonds now, corporate government bonds, with very low coupons on them, if interest rates start to go up because the Fed clamps down on the money supply and because of expectations of inflation beginning to be embedded in the economy, you are in for a ride of your life as the price of those bonds goes through the floor. So if you want to buy bonds now, more power to you. Just pray that interest rates stay at these historical levels until your bonds mature. Because if they don't, you're going to be holding something considerably less attractive than a Ford Motor Company bond. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.